You're never too old to work.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Tough economic times have more people at retirement age working longer. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 29% of people in their late 60s were working in 2006. That's up from 18% in 1985. And the number of 55 and up workers is expected to rise more than five times the rate of the overall workforce. The AARP's annual convention in Washington this week has reflected that trend. There's a job fair for those who won't or can't stop working. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Penny McCrimmon is all decked out in a mustard yellow suit. She's a former Maryland state worker in her mid-50s, but she's back in the job market.
The economy is in the dumps. I'm a real estate investor, so my income is in the garbage.
McCrimmon always thought at this age she'd be living the good life in some warm place, not lining up at Home Depot and Staples booths at a job fair. But she and other seniors need to cope with the tough economy. And as the supply of young workers for service jobs dries up, companies figure aging boomers might help. At the CVS booth, Ernie DuPont hands out pill cases on keychains. He says in the last dozen years, the company's worked hard to triple the percentage of CVS workers over 50.
You know, one of the things that's been very successful for us is our snowbird program, whereby we have people that work maybe in the Northeast during certain times of the year and then travel down to the South.
The next aisle over, retirementjobs.com offers an internet cafe for job seekers.
Well, I'm Bob the Job Guy. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Bob Skladany runs the booth. He's helping seniors looking to replicate the jobs they once held. Most are having no luck. They're applying for high-paid jobs at companies that don't need to offer snowbird programs. That makes Skladany's advice all the more important. Like, if you're being interviewed by someone half your age,
obviously don't make any comments like, well, you could be younger than my son.
Skladany says if you're asked your age, answer the question straight up and move on. He's become a beloved figure online.
Well, I've received 9 marriage proposals. It's true. 9.
But then Skladany gets serious. He starts talking about depressed seniors, people like former state worker Penny McCrimmon, who's heading to yet another recruiter's booth. She's been looking for a good-paying job for 4 years, with no luck. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
There's some head-scratching going on this morning on Wall Street. What caused the stock market to tank yesterday? There were some discouraging numbers on jobless claims and retail sales, but that probably doesn't explain such a big drop. There were also whispers about some major hedge funds rapidly selling off their assets, perhaps to cover losses from the falling oil market. So the Dow will be trying to dig out from a loss of 345 points, 3%. The S&P 500 dropped 3% as well. NASDAQ lost more than 3%. The plunge continued in Asia, where shares were down at least 2% or more today. And European stocks are following suit, but not quite as bad. London's FTSE is off 1.5%. If you use a lawnmower, jet ski, or power generator, a new federal rule is aimed at you. Most garden equipment and recreational vehicles on the market will have to have cleaner burning engines by 2011. Rachel Dornhelm reports on what this means for consumers.
They may be small engines, but they are big polluters.
On a summer day, these engines can produce up to 10% or more of the smog-forming pollution in urban areas.
That's Frank O'Donnell with Clean Air Watch. He says the new technology should be an economic wash for consumers. You may pay, say, $17 more for a lawnmower, but will pay $18 less to fuel the more efficient engine over time. And then there are healthcare savings. The EPA's Bill Charmley says the new products could result in $4 billion in healthcare savings annually.
Respiratory illnesses, increased mortality rates, hospital visits, asthma attack increases. So this program will help reduce all of those impacts.
Charmley expects equipment operators will see the biggest health benefits. In San Francisco, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com. by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
If it's the first week in September, must be a new TV season and time for our regular look at showbiz. Stuart Levine of Variety is joining us, and there still is a fall TV season?
The cable shows do launch at different times during the year, a lot of stuff in the summer. Whenever they see the hole in programming they want to fill, they'll do that. But broadcast traditionally, and they continue to mostly launch in the fall.
I think a lot of the buzz I've been hearing is about 90210. I thought that show died a long time ago.
It did, but it seems to have a nice rebirth. CW, one of the smaller networks, launched it again this week, and it got great numbers for it. They also had a nice launch with the second season of Gossip Girl. So CW, which is a network that was formed a couple years ago, is off to a pretty good start this year. There was talk that if the shows didn't do well, that network might not be around in the next few years. But as of right now, they're looking pretty good.
How about the traditional three-letter networks?
ABC has a show called Life on Mars, which is an import from the BBC, which co-stars Michael Imperioli, who was from The Sopranos, so that might get some interest. CBS has a really funny comedy called Worst Week, which I think is going to get a really good play. I think the review is going to be really, really strong for that. And NBC, I'd say of all the networks, there's the shows that I think are most questionable. Talking about 90210, shows that have died coming back again, they're redoing Knight Rider. So let's see how that does. And they have Christian Slater, who's more of a movie star, is coming to TV for My Own Worst Enemy. So I think all those shows, we'll see how they go.
This time last year, we were all concerned about the writer's strike. That having any after effects?
Well, the after effects it's having is that a lot of the pilots that should have already been seen at this point haven't even been seen by network executives and even critics. Nobody's seen Knight Rider. Nobody's seen My Own Worst Enemy. Life on Mars, I don't even know if the pilot's actually been even completed yet. So I think that's where the writer's strike effect is coming into play. Whether that works, again, for the networks or against them, probably a little too soon to say.
No news may be good news, though.
Could be.
Stuart Levine, Assistant Managing Editor at Variety, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Good morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.